Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Praise God. If you could take your Bibles and please turn to the book of Revelation chapter 4. What an amazing book this is. Now we're at the last, I told you we wouldn't be in Revelation 4 very long. This will be our last Sunday in Revelation 4. We've been here like 4 weeks compared to chapter 1. I think we were there for 3 or 4 months almost, probably 2 or 3 months or so. But it's still, I mean, we're in the throne room when we get hit to Revelation 4 and 5. And in chapter 5, we'll be looking more at redemption. But there's praise that takes place at the end of this chapter after we see these glorious beings, these 24 elders with crowns dressed in white before the throne. And they interact with John, the elders do, and God's dealings with the universe and our, you know, the creation and us to a degree. They show John what's up coming up and what have you. They praise God. They are coupled with the four living creatures who have four different faces, as we've seen. They have the great similarities to the cherubim in the Old Testament and the seraphim as well. But when you look at these creatures, they've got eyes all over, you know, six wings. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They sing and praise God without ceasing. That, of course, doesn't mean they don't do things, you know, because we see them doing things as well, but their heart is full of praise toward God. And here at the climax of chapter 4, we got all the way through verse 10, except there's something I didn't mention in verse 10, and it fits very well with verse 11. Verse 10, the 24 elders, which we studied, will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And this is the part we didn't cover yet. And will what? Cast their crowns before the throne. How many of you knew that casting crowns was more than a band, right? That's where they got their name, you know? They'll cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Now, it's interesting because in chapter 4 and 5, these are two of the most wonderful chapters in the whole Bible in regard to praise and worship. We're going to talk about praise and worship a little bit this morning. And worship is not, now when we say praise and worship, a lot of times people think it's like a redundancy. Isn't worship praise? No. Praise is worship, but worship isn't just praise. Worship has to do with serving God. It means to serve the Lord. Proskuneo, the Greek term, proskuneo, pros is a word that has to do with, you know, kuneo. The whole word has to do with turning toward someone. In this case, it's obviously God, and proskuneo is used toward what we're to do toward God, and bowing down, or kissing, actually, how the word is used so often. And it's come to be translated worship, okay? Now, it's interesting, even the word worship, it's an old English word, an old German word, a lot of our English is based on German, comes from the word worski, and it means basically worthy. It came from the word, I should say, worthy. It doesn't mean worthy, but it means it's tied to worthy. And why would someone serve someone? Why would someone give them praise? Because they are what? Worthy, you know? We applaud, we clap, we praise people, not as God, but for doing great feats. And we only worship God as God, amen? He's the only one we're to worship and actually bow down to in the form of worship. And he certainly is worthy. Our very existence depends upon him, amen? He is our creator. And notice verse 11. Let's hone in on it. Worthy are you. See, the worship is connected to him being worthy. Our Lord and our God. It's kind of interesting, our Lord and our God, because the Father and the Son are both on the throne, as I've already proven in our first study in Revelation chapter 4. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor That means just exaltation and glory for who he is. And to honor means to put someone in something in a high place. And God, we've talked about this already through chapter 4. He is the only one that deserves the ontological honor as the uncreated creator of all things and to be worshiped and honored in that way. And power, for you created what? You created, this is the key, guys, you created all things. And because of your will, they existed and were what? Created. The word created is used twice in that one verse. And that's the reason they're motivated to worship him and they declare him worthy. I mean, somebody builds something really, really cool or invents something on this planet that's really cool, people trip out. But that's nothing compared to us, you know, the creation all around us, the universe. It's mind-boggling. You know, we talk about the edges of the universe, but we don't even know where the edges of the universe are, you know? It's just so vast, and we're not going to get into space today and what have you. We talk about that frequently. It's just mind-blowing. But just creation itself, they cast their crowns before the throne because God created them. Now, there's two main reasons in Revelation 4 and 5 that they worship God so radically. And one reason that we see right here in chapter 4 is what? Creation, amen? Chapter 5, it's redemption. Not only creation, but also redemption, because the Lamb has laid his life down to redeem us. Amen? Some of you are familiar, very familiar, hopefully, with Revelation 5. No one could take the scroll except the one on the right hand of the throne. It was Jesus, because he laid his life down to redeem us from among men. And those are the two main reasons. When I worship God, those are the two main things that are always on my heart. You know, whether I'm seeing his creation or thinking about just being thankful that he created me, I can burst into praise and thanks. And other times when I think about him having mercy on me and forgiving me and having mercy on my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family, it just causes me to well up and praise him and worship him. The thing is, the enemy wants to get our eyes off of all these things. Why do you think the enemy came up with Darwinism, evolution? Why do you think he promotes atheism? Because he's jealous. Satan hates God and wants to seduce people away from worshiping the one true God. Because creation is foundational, folks. This is something you need to make sure you emphasize to your children as they're growing up. I really think it's vital for parents to emphasize and show evidences of the Creator and the signature of God in his creation to their children as they're growing up, because Satan wants to attack that foundation. And if he can destroy their view of creation and make them think, hey, it was just all a result of some chaotic explosion, and look, here we all are, which I know sounds just absolutely ridiculous, but people actually fall for it, that it was this unorganized explosion by just random chance. And it even gets more bizarre than that, as we'll talk about in a little bit. We know that space is expanding. We know God did something really radical. We don't know exactly what it was. We know he created us, okay? The universe is finely tuned. It's a teleological argument of that, what they call in science the anthropic principle. The universe is finely tuned at many, many levels, especially since its inception, where we couldn't exist unless they were many, many factors were valued on a razor's edge, folks. And I was going to get into a lot of the anthropic principle this morning. I'm not going to really get into it at all. I thought that's another study, because it's all these really cool things about how far the sun would have to be from the earth and gravity and all these different things. You know, even earthquakes, if we didn't have earthquakes and tectonic plates and volcanoes, we couldn't exist right now. You realize that? Because you look at the other planets, they're pretty flat, aren't they? We're the only planet we know that has tectonic plates. And that causes the ground to disperse the water, so we're not under hundreds of feet of water right now, drowned. Okay, I said I wasn't going to get into those things. Okay, Lord help me. There's all kinds of things. Oh, earthquakes! Praise God for earthquakes, amen. Now, if you're in the middle of one and you built a structure that's not worth earthquake worthy, it's a different story at that moment, but in reality, it's all kinds of wonderful things that are happening that people totally misunderstand and get mad at God. But I praise him. The more you look at those kind of arguments, they fall down, you know, in light of theodicy and what God's ultimately doing and the bigger picture. Now, when you look at that, go to Revelation 14, because in Revelation 14, you have three angels flying in the mid-heavens. And they're flying in the mid-heavens because they're announcing not to take the mark of the beast. They're announcing the fall of Babylon and what will happen to the beast worshipers. But it's interesting, in verse 7, one of these angels preaches the everlasting gospel. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who what? Made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. At the end, times, God's going to use an angel to remind people, hey, he made all this. It wasn't one big ridiculous accident. Now, it's interesting. It starts with fear God. That's because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the scriptures say. And we need to recognize what God's put into us. And, you know, if your friend got a brand new Maserati or something like that, and you went and just started hitting it with a hammer in front of him, let's see how well it holds up. Would that be a good thing? Probably not, especially with your from your friend's mindset. For you, you might be really jealous. It might be, you know, but that's not godly. But you start hammering it. Well, what about us? You are way more intricate, fearfully and wonderfully made compared to any car, right? And if you don't view yourself as created, and you do abuse drugs, you abuse yourself, you reject God's will in your life, guess what? That's a huge affront to your creator. Amen? Especially because you're not a car, you're far more. You're a living entity created for eternity. Now, these 24 elders who cast their crowns before the throne of God, why do they do it? Because they recognize that their very existence depends on their creator. That they wouldn't exist. The very heads that hold the crowns were given to him by them, by God. And the very crowns that sit on their heads were given by God. Everything they have, consciousness, awareness, everything around them was given to them by God. And they realize, giving it back to you, we realize it's all from you. You deserve the praise and the worship. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. Amen? 100%. Now, it's interesting because there's many, many scriptures that speak of atheism or rebellion against God, rejecting God's word. One of the most important passages for the wrath of God, Romans 1:18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They are holding down. The Greek word suppress, the Greek that's written, New Testament is written in Greek, many, most of you know. The Greek word that's translated into English, suppress, means to hold down. Kind of like holding a jack-in-the-box down so it won't pop up. In this case, you're trying to hold God down, hold the witness of his creation down. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. So the evidence is there all around us. It is, guys. It is. And we're going to get more into that in a little bit. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. No one's going to be able to say, you know, my professor in college, you know, that this hippie guy that could barely talk was telling me we evolved, and I just believed it. It ain't going to work.
You're listening to a Sunday morning message by pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To listen to the full-length version of this message, click on the podcast link at goodfightradio.org.
The old hippie deceived me. No, because in your heart, everybody knows that doesn't make any sense, ultimately, that we were created, that we're too deep. I mean, it's not just, I mean, think of the universe. Think of what they're discovering with technology. The more the technology we have, the more it becomes evident how deep humanity, how deep the design is in our nature. I mean, not just that, consciousness. We're not just beings that walk around that aren't aware, that just, you know, like maybe plants, right? We have consciousness and awareness and five senses. You see what I'm saying? We have awareness. We have brains that are highly organized. There's really no excuse. And it says there, which I think is very interesting, it says there that they suppressed God's truth and they became unthankful, it says later in their hearts. They became unthankful to God and they were given over to depraved minds and they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools, foolish in their darkened imaginations. So, and that's interesting. You'd have people, even the first century, profess to be wise, but God's viewpoint is they're absolutely foolish because they're rejecting the Creator. And that the Creator, the evidence is all around them, and they reject that creation. Now, it's interesting when we think about this, because then it goes on to describe various vices, sinful, immoral, perverse activities they engage in. Sexual immorality in general, then it goes into homosexuality, what have you. And this is a vicious cycle, you see, folks. It's a vicious cycle because what happens is, first of all, the reason people reject God's creation as his witness to them And by the way, I didn't even mention we have a conscience that dictates right and wrong. And you go around the world and find most everywhere, unless people have seared their consciences with a hot iron so it doesn't work anymore, which the Bible talks about, and harden their hearts, which the Bible talks about. We have consciences that dictate murder, theft, rape, those kinds of things that the Bible talks about are evil. Is in our hearts already. It's a law. And where there's a law, there's a lawgiver. You know, if you came in and strolled into Simi Valley and you saw these buildings around, but no people at all, and you saw stop signs and no U-turn and, you know, yield and also, would you conclude this is all an accident? No, because you'd see design all around you buildings and you'd see signs up that have laws and you'd realize, hey, intelligence put that there, right? Well, guess what? We are way beyond any building you'll ever see how you are made. And we have laws in our hearts. It all points to God. But what happens is people want to do evil. Our sinful, fallen nature that we've inherited from the first human rejects the law of God. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we're hostile toward God. That's the human nature. So people don't want God's authority over them. So they want to do their own thing. And that's where atheism begins. Because wait a minute, man, if there's a God, then I'm just a toast. But maybe I can imagine that there's no authority. Maybe I could drive into Simi Valley and see that there's nobody around for a while. And yeah, there's signs and there's buildings and there's signs of, you know, authority, especially the signs and what have you and laws, you know. But I'm going to pretend it doesn't really affect me, but ultimately it will. And how much more with God? Now, it's interesting. It's a vicious cycle because this sinful, this mystery of iniquity that the Bible talks about begins with not wanting God to have authority over us, rejecting God, trying to explain him away, then being given over to a depraved mind, and then becoming even darker and darker. And when you see these articles and these promoting, you know, Darwinism and promoting atheism, don't think these are intellectually based and motivated articles, folks. Okay? They have their root in rebellion against God. And the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world and that the whole world is under the power of the evil one. So it's no marvel that the government schools are promoting, you know, atheism and Darwinism and what have you. In fact, go to Psalm 10, the book of Psalms, middle of your Bible, chapter 10. And I want you to go to the first few verses there. Actually, we'll actually begin at verse 3. Look what it says. It says, for the wicked, Psalm chapter 10, verse 3, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He wants his heart's desire, the wicked. He wants to do wicked things. And the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Because he wants to do evil, he curses and spurns the Lord. Verse 4, the wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are what? There is no God. Folks, this is what the scriptures tell us. That the wicked, it starts with the wicked desire to do things that are evil and not want to be subjected to God and to end up cursing God. And then instead of cursing God, because whoa, that doesn't work too long, come to a denial of his existence. That's what it's showing here. You put that with Romans 1, which I just showed you, then when you're given over that darkness because of the hardness of your heart, you're given over to more and more darkness and depravity to the point where, hey, if there's no creator, then there's no real design as to how we're to use our bodies. Therefore, this idea that, you know, the Judeo-Christian understanding and the understanding that most of the world, all the world pretty much had that of marriage between a man and a woman, guess what? You can jettison that. It could be two men that are married to one another because guess what? There's no creator we don't have to follow. We just follow the dictates of our hearts. That's what Romans 1 talks about in regard to the devolution. We don't have evolution here. We have devolution, spiraling downward and rejecting. The Bible says God made us upright. He declared everything good, but he gave us free will. He gave us choice. And look at chapter 14 now of the book of Psalms. Chapter 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. You see the deeds and what's connected to this. There is some atheists will say, well, not all atheists run out and do all kinds of immoral things. That's true. They don't always run out and do immoral things, but they do the very, very first most immoral thing, which is reject their creator. So you can say, well, this guy's not committing adultery, and this atheist, you know, he pets his dog and feeds it in the morning, and he's nice to his kids, but guess what? There's something according to Scripture going on there, and it's breaking the first commandment to serve the one true God, amen, and the greatest commandment to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I've heard some atheists say, when I've dialogued with them and I've read what they're writing, hey, you know what? We could do this, all the things moral that the Christian could do, untrue. You know, you can't worship God. That's the main commandment. You can't follow the first four commandments, even, because you don't believe in God, and they're based on how you relate to God. You can't pray for the lost. You can't pray for missionaries, amen. There's a ton of things they can't do. They go on to say, there's no one who does good. The Lord, verse 2, has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So the verdict is that we're all in trouble, amen? He created us, but we all have gone astray as humans, but that's where redemption comes in and why Jesus Christ was sent. So we could be forgiven of our sins and reconciled with God, amen? But if you spurn God, you reject God, you deny his existence, the scriptures make it very clear that there's a motivation going on there. Okay? There's a motivation going on there. Jesus said, all who will to do the will of the Father, who really want to do right by their creator, who's revealed to them by general revelation through creation, by the witness of conscience, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, those who, by the witness of scripture, if they go that far, God gives you light and more light if you respond to the early light. In creation, all those who will do the will of the Father, Jesus said, will know the doctrine in regard to who he is. No one's going to slip through the cracks. So there's a heart situation. God's looking at the human heart. And it's amazing when you think this through. Because what happens is, now when the Bible says here in Psalm 14 that the fool says in his heart there's no God, that's the Bible's verdict. Someone who's an atheist, the Bible says, is a fool. And I've just shown you from chapter 10, it's because they're motivated by evil, it says. I know when I was a kid, I became an agnostic on the verge of becoming an atheist. And I could look back at my childhood, and I know exactly what happened. Man, I was smoking pot, I was doing various drugs, and I was getting drunk, and I was chasing girls and doing all the things in rebellion to God. And I knew there was a conflict. There was a conflict in my life, even though I wasn't a Christian. I had to decide on the God factor. And I decided against him. And I became like deistic. Oh, whatever created us, I'm not going to say it's God. I know we're designed because it's too obvious. It's way out there, okay? And I rejected Christian morals. And so you have to get theological one way or another. It's kind of crazy. And it's interesting. By my own experience and by the witness of Scripture, first and foremost, the witness of Scripture, is there's a moral factor going on here. And when we started in chapter 4, Revelation, chapter 4, 10, 11, they're casting their crowns down before the throne because he created them. If we don't believe he created us, we're not going to be casting our crowns before God. We don't believe it exists. We're not going to relate to him in the right way. We're not going to give him the worship he deserves. Even Darwin himself, and I've studied to a pretty good extent the life of Darwin. I like to read his letters. I like to see, you know, his life because things changed in the 1800s. And Darwin, and many historians point this out, the turning point in his life was the death of his daughter, Annie. And he became very embittered toward a personal creator.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Comes down to just one thing.